Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Everybody, welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is going to be a lot of fun. I've got a dear friend of mine on the show today, and I want to introduce you to, and this is Amy Stefanik. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
I'm so excited. We met down at the Ship Offers Dinner with you and your husband, Matt, down at TNC. And It was great seeing him. Like, you were kind enough to send me your book, The Entrepreneur's Wife. So for those of you guys who don't have the book, first of all, go get the book, theentrepreneurswife.com. We're going to be talking a lot about this. It's been a fun journey, and I'm so excited. Recently, I did a couple of podcasts with my wife on Funnel Hacker Radio. So this is kind of a follow-up to that. But a little background on Amy. She's a wife. Three kids. Mother, published author, speaker, along with her husband, Matt. They've been basically riding this whole entrepreneurial roller coaster. I love the way you kind of put that. Since 2002, she's the creator of The Entrepreneur's Wife. And really, I think the part I'm most excited about is your desire to really kind of help people understand this idea of this whole one shared vision.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that's really tough for a lot of people. I know for my wife, we've been married 25 years as of last November. It's been a fun roller coaster. There's ups and downs of any marriage, but when you add the entrepreneurial type of life to it, it changes things.
And it does.
As I was talking to you about down in San Diego, my daughter-in-law, Fran, so my oldest son, Chandler, is 23, got married last year to Fran. She's from Chile. And it's been interesting getting to know her. And when she grew up, her mom basically, I guess you would say, it was an entrepreneur, but her whole view of this whole entrepreneurial thing was every entrepreneur was broke and you didn't have any concept of a wealthy entrepreneur. And so when she met my son, who was really trying to go after the whole entrepreneurial thing, her whole thing was, no, you have to stay in college. You have to get a degree. And her getting her degree was real important. So she got that. And then she got introduced to this whole entrepreneurial life. She followed you and she's like, oh my gosh, I got to figure out more about this. So with all that said, I want to kind of dive into your views on this whole entrepreneurial journey and really what you've created, this whole movement behind The Entrepreneur's Wife.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've been with my husband, Matt, for 17 years. I was kind of the same way as your daughter-in-law. When I first started, you know, when I first met Matt, he was talking about, you know, dropping out of college and, you know, going the entrepreneur route. And I was like, well, I just met the guy. And I was like, gosh, it's very interesting. Like, how are you going to get paid? Like, how are you going to make a paycheck? I didn't understand. I'm like, what's, you know, but I was interested. It was interesting to me that someone was going to create something out of nothing. And that, you know, I didn't come from that background. My dad, you know, worked, my mom stayed home. I have six brothers and sisters. Like, it was very conventional. And it was just intriguing to me that he was going to create his own path. And so, you know, we got together, and got married and stuff. And at first we were in the real estate game and we were killing it as young, early 20s, like killing the real estate game. It was amazing. I'm like, entrepreneurship is amazing. It's the best thing ever. Well, then the real estate market crashed and we lost everything, three houses, two cars. I mean, we had to sell everything. It was the worst time, one of the worst moments of our lives. And I'm like, I hate entrepreneurship. It's the worst thing ever. And so the journey from that dip and then climbing back out and Matt becoming super successful in internet marketing, I went at that moment of that dip and got a job in corporate America but climbed the corporate ladder, went from receptionist to director of the risk department and just really created a safety net. I'm like, I'm never going to fall this hard again. This sucked. I'm not doing it again. And so I kind of stepped away from the dream and created this safety net. And I thought that I was doing good, right? But now looking back, hindsight, I wish I would have done things a little differently. And so, you know, climbing out of that hole and creating the safety net and going through the ups and downs, the ebb and flows of marriage and business, you know, we came to a crossroads where Matt and I were facing divorce. I mean, we were just like, we were on separate paths. We just, you know, I was a corporate girl that had this box that I wanted us to live in. And he was the hot air balloon that wanted to fly and was just like, don't hold me down. And I'm like, you know, we just kind of started to go our separate ways. And so we, you know, looked over the cliff of divorce, we separated. And then we decided, you know what, this is not what we want. This, you know, we've always been in this together. You know, we had, I call it a divine intervention, and we came back together. But I made a decision when we came back together that I was going to know what this business was, because for my entire life, if someone said, what does your husband do? I had no idea. I would be like, he sits in front of the computer. Like, I don't really know. And so I was like, I have to know. I want to go all in. So I dove both feet and I learned the business like it was my own. And I started working the back end of the business. I wanted to know everything about it. Started going to events with Matt and speaking to other entrepreneurs. And they were like, you have to talk to my wife. Like, please, if you would just talk to her, she would understand that. Because for so many years, I felt like I was on an island. No one understood me. I had my he should crew. So everybody telling me what he should be doing and what I should be doing. And I was like, ah. And so when I started going to events, I'm like, oh my gosh, my people, there are all these people that totally get me, that understand. And so I started looking for something for the entrepreneur spouse. And there was articles here and there and maybe like, you know, a pamphlet, but there was really nothing for the entrepreneur spouse. But we're supposed to buy in 100% with no pushback, but we don't have the tools to do that. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to create this platform. And that's where the entrepreneur's wife began.
I love it. I think it's been one of those things for me as I've taken a look. I'm sure my wife and my kids have probably felt the same thing as far as, gosh, what in the world? How do you explain what my dad does? And I've gone through a lot of different careers prior to ClickFunnels. Like, gosh, I've had been involved in financial services, been involved in tons in the real estate, mortgage industries. On a side note, I just had fun flipping cars and went, you know, flipped hundreds of houses and hundreds of cars. And I'm sure my neighbors thought I was a drug dealer with all the cars and things moving up. And my kids are like, how do you explain what my dad does? And so I think that as you've had the opportunity of talking with other spouses, and I know you focus primarily on the entrepreneur's wife, but I see there's also the entrepreneur's husband these days that, and so it kind of goes both ways. And so as I look at that whole entrepreneurial spouse, what are some of the advice and some of the things that you counsel or you provide to them to help them understand this whole crazy entrepreneurial journey?
You know, I started with the entrepreneur's wife because that's what I knew, right? But it's kind of has grown into, you know, entrepreneurs, because if you ask Matt, almost every single event that we go to, I end up sitting in a corner with an entrepreneur male. And he's crying, telling me how he wished his relationship would be better. And he doesn't know how to relate to her. So that kind of opened my eyes to realize that it's twofold. It has to come from both sides, right? The entrepreneur wants to understand, doesn't understand why their spouse isn't 100% supportive. And then the spouse feels like they're not being heard and they don't have stability. And so on top of that's the common thread between the both. And so, you know, it is, it's interesting because a lot of if you look at all the entrepreneurial couples that I've spoke to, that I've interviewed, that I've coached and mentored, there's always a fine line of similarity between all of them. And that is, you know, I want her or him to understand what I'm doing. I want them to be on board. I want them to be supportive, but I don't know how to get them to understand like what I need. There's a breakdown of communication in a way. And really it's just the knowledge behind the communication. I believe that knowledge really is more important than communication, because if you don't know how to communicate to your partner, then you're not going to be heard. And so it's really like going through each process and learning their spouse all over again. Like, you know, I use a lot of techniques that are in business. Like, what is your spouse's personality type? What's their love language? You know, what kind of entrepreneur are they? You know, I know that Matt's a rebel. I can't go to Matt and say, we need to do this, because he will look at me and say, we don't need to do anything. I know I can't do that. And so I have to know that I have to approach him differently. And he knows that I am a rule follower and I like a lot of information. I always tell him, I'm your ride or die. I will go with you. You just have to make me a list so I know what I need to bring and where we're going and what's going to happen when we get there. And so knowing that, it makes it easier to say, okay, you're not just being frustrating or a contrarian. This is actually who you are. So let me learn how to communicate with you the way that you are and hold space for that and honor that. And by them doing that, it makes them realize, hey, you know, it brings a whole new level of consciousness and understanding to the marriage and the relationship.
I love that. It's I remember years ago, we went to Tony Robbins' Unleash the Power Within, and it was really the first time I got introduced to this whole idea of our six human needs and the idea behind variety and stability. And it was, my wife needs that security. She longs for that stability. And I am like so far on the opposite end as far as variety. And like, I want change. I'm such a risk taker. And it's been interesting as we've learned to communicate more effectively through that kind of stuff, that I need to always make sure as I'm talking with her, that I'm helping her reinforce what is stable, where is the security, that I have a plan, that it's not completely. I think at times when we first got married, everything she saw was, I was literally just going from one thing to another, and she saw no plan. She was totally freaked out going, maybe, and again, I loved your idea as far as the he should type of things. Yeah. I am sure my wife lived and still does. With a lot of, like, he should do this, he should do that, he should do this. My only reason in saying that is it provide what I'd learned personally, I guess, through it, and she and I were talking about this just recently, was the importance for me of helping her understand that there is a plan, and that every entrepreneur, rarely does an entrepreneur really go just balls to the wall, all out, no idea what they're going to do, and just try to take that kind of risk. For me, entrepreneurship is just the opposite. It's much more of a very calculated risk. But for a person who doesn't understand the calculations that I'm going through, it seems completely just off the wall, crazy. Why in the world would you ever do something like that? And so I'm kind of curious as far as when you start working with people on this communication, what are some of the things and the tips that you help? You mentioned knowledge, but how does a person actually communicate more effectively? Because I know for myself, Amy, is I ended up getting so far down the road that I almost had to go backwards 2 or 3 years to actually get to a point to where it was like, let me give you, there was no backstory for her. I couldn't just communicate right. And so how do you actually, once there's a lot of water under the bridge, how do you then come out and say, okay, let me take a step back and actually repair where we're at and move forward?
That's a great question, because that was Matt and I. I mean, we didn't learn this whole communication knowledge, you know, understanding each other until like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And there was a lot of water in the bridge, a lot of bumps and bruises and scrapes and, you know, self-inflicted wounds. And you're just like, okay, you know, how are we going to communicate with each other and not bring up the stuff that, you know, that doesn't need to be in this conversation? And so what we started very simply. We started with the five love languages, and we learned each other's love language. Super simple. Everybody talks about it, but it changed our marriage because it opened our eyes to, like, hey, you know, there's something here, because it all boils down to consideration, right? Are you considerate enough to do the things that your partner needs? And so it really made us realize, okay, this is why you are the way you are. This is what you need from me. I'm over here buying you stuff, and that doesn't mean anything for you. You know, it's like, I'm giving you everything, and I hear it all the time. I literally hear it all the time. Like, I don't understand why she doesn't feel like I love her. I buy her flowers every week. Well, she hates flowers, and her love language is words of affirmation. So you're not landing it, you know? And so
I'm only laughing because we've had these conversations. For my wife, quality time is like the most important thing in the world for her. And I'm like, oh, gosh, it's not just quality, but that also means quantity. And that's in the heart. I'm like, it's an entrepreneur. I don't have, anyways. So I'm laughing only because we've had these conversations so many times.
Totally.
And the flowers mean nothing to her. Yeah. Gifts, she's like, nah, I don't care about that. I'm like, everything you want. So no, I get it.
It's crazy. And so, you know, we start there, and then we do the Gretchen Rubin's four tendency types. And so that was big to understand what tendency type, like, how do you respond to expectations, right? When expectations are put on you, or you're putting expectations on yourself, how do you respond to those things? And so we really dove into that, and there was a lot of research behind it. We researched each other's personality type, and that was great. 16 personality types was another one that we kind of dove into as well, pretty deep. And so with those three steps, by the end of that, you kind of have a full rounded circle of love, business, and tendency, you know, in that little trifecta there. And so you can know, okay, this is how I need to love them. This is how I need to speak to them. And this is how they show up in the world. And so how can I talk to them and communicate in a way where I'm not triggering them? Because really that's what it's about, right? You have a conversation, you say something and you're like, what, why are you getting so mad? And another tool I use is HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Never have a conversation when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And because those emotions, you will react in a way that you probably typically wouldn't react. For me, it's hungry. If I'm hungry, I cannot have a civil conversation because I'm just like, I act like a crazy person. And so when you're reacting from those four places, then it's, you know, you check yourself. Like if I'm starting to feel like emotional and I don't know why, I check in. I'm like, okay, why am I being triggered here? And it's really a lot of, to be honest, Dave, it's 100% responsibility. And that was the biggest thing with the communication for Matt and I, is taking 100% responsibility for how we show up and know that we're responsible for us. Like, he can't make me happy. He can't make me feel secure. He can't do these things for me. I have to create this for myself. And then you're two individuals standing beside each other and not lean against each other. And you can walk better down the path when you're standing straight, right?
I think that's, for me, has been one of the biggest things. You talked about ownership, and I think it's the part, Extreme Ownership is one of the books we've been reading recently here at the office. Again, Navy SEAL, Jocko Willink.
Yeah.
But again, I love that idea as far as really taking that ownership. And the other thing you made mention of, and I think too often, again, you kind of get, once you've got a lot of water under the bridge, you kind of assume things just are going to be a certain way. And again, you mentioned as far as that being considerate. And I think at times, due to assumptions and everything else, you forget how important consideration is for the other person.
Yeah.
And I mean, you would never, my wife and I have joked around about this a ton. She's like, you would never talk to your employees or talk to your clients the way you're talking to me right now. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We've been together so long. And again, it's, I appreciate, she's so kind and she's so sensitive to make sure I understand from a communication standpoint. And it's one of the things I'm working on all the time, probably more so these days than ever, is the importance of communicating in a way that resonates with them. And I think we do it so often in business that at times, I don't think we translate that same need to those that we care the most about as far as family, loved ones, and our spouses, obviously.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because we learned recently about creating a story for each other, right? You create a story for your spouse of how they've acted in the past and you stick them in that, on that page, right? You're like, this is who you are. This is how you show up. If this happens, this is how you're going to react. But the problem with that is that you don't allow them to change and evolve and grow themselves because you're holding them to this book. And so, and it's the book that you've written for them. And Matt and I heard this, we were traveling on a road trip and we looked at each other and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be the same. Like, that just totally blew my mind because it's so true. And you don't only do it with your spouse, you do it with your children. You do it with, you know, people that you're around a lot. You create a story for them. And it's kind of selfish in a way because you're like, this is who you are. This is the book that I've written for you. And there you go. You stay here in this book because this makes me feel comfortable. And it's crazy, but it's true. And so what Matt and I joke and say now is, you know, if I'm saying, well, this is how you're going to react. He's like, don't stick me in that book, or, you know what I mean? Like, get off me. Don't put me in that book. And so it's a reminder of like, okay, let me give you space. You are evolving and changing. You're an individual. You're not just my husband, but it's allowed me to look at him as Matt and not just, you know, Amy's husband.
I love that idea. That's definitely, I wrote that down. That's a, I know I've definitely created a very large book for my wife and a story that I've created for her that she, I probably need to allow her to rewrite a lot of the chapters there. So it's a great analogy. I appreciate that. Well, as you take a look at in kind of where you guys are going from now, I know I've seen and you've talked a lot about some of the stories and things that have happened in the past. What's the new adventure? Where are you guys going? What's the next level from The Entrepreneur's Wife? Where are you going to take this thing?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because The Entrepreneur's Wife has always had wheels of its own. Every time I say, you know, hold on, let me take a break, I just get pushed forward into something else. And so, you know, it's what's next for the entrepreneur's wife is I'm doing a lot of masterminds and meetups and master classes and really trying to touch my audience one-on-one, because I think that what we talk about is so personal. You know, everybody wants a solid marriage. And what's crazy is that we put so much emphasis and lean so far into the business. And I tell couples all the time, if you just take a portion of that hustle and just move it over to the marriage, it will do, you will like thrive. You can have both. And so, you know, that's really where I see the entrepreneur's wife going, is just doing, you know, doing more traveling, going and touching my audience and sitting down with them and doing, you know, the master classes and doing the masterminds and speaking engagements and really just getting out there and letting people know that I'm not perfect. I am known for sharing all my dusty corners and all the stuff. I mean, poor Matt, he's just like, do you have to share? I'm like, yeah, I do, because this is good stuff. And so I'm like, this is real life. And so to the wincing and the holding of the bridge of the nose of my husband, I share a lot of the realness, because marriage is difficult, and it's not something that, you know, if you've been in it long enough, you know that, hey, you know, it's easy to be kind of self-centered when it comes to, you know, your relationship, because you, for me, I use the analogy of I'm the main actor and everybody else is just extras in my movie. And I have to like correct myself and say, okay, that's not good. Don't do that. And so that's where to get back to your question, that's where I see the entrepreneur's wife going, is just more hands-on with my community.
I love it. I think, again, it's a message that's, I think the timing on it's fantastic. I'm seeing a lot of it in my own personal life, with my own marriage, and also now having a son who's now married and seeing him go down this journey. It's neat seeing basically a 25-year history and then a brand new marriage at the same time, both being impacted by a desire for a spouse to be this entrepreneur, to go after it and to have those dreams. So I appreciate that a ton. Well, as we kind of get close to wrapping things up, anything else you want to make sure the audience knows about, or any other tips you want to give them?
You know, people always ask me, you know, what do I feel like success is? Like, what do you feel like success means, or what it is? And it's a question that comes up a lot when I'm talking to and mentoring my coaching students, or even like on podcasts and stuff. And you know, I think that for me as the entrepreneur's wife, I have to remember that success is every day, right? We get so caught up on this entrepreneur's journey at the end of the race, right? When I get there, then I'll be successful. Then I can be happy. Then I'll spend more time with you. Then I'll spend more time with the kids. Then I can take more time off. But what happens is you get there and you turn around and look and you're standing there by yourself. And so success is an everyday commitment to your craft, but it's also an everyday commitment to your family and to what is the big picture. And I think that that's what we need to focus on, as well as the business, is what is the big plan for the family, and get everybody involved in it. And then if everybody's working towards that every single day, then every day is a success. And when you get to the end of the week, then you had a successful week. And so you don't feel like you're constantly chasing something. You feel like you're working towards something.
Oh, I love it. Well, Amy, thank you so much. I know soon, I guess Matt will be creating a book called The Entrepreneur's Husband, since you're now entrepreneur at the next chapter here.
Yeah, he teases me all the time, because it's like 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, I just got to finish this email. And he was like, how the tables have turned. I'm like, I know.
Well, Amy, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's great seeing you. And I'm sure we'll talk to you real soon.
Yes. Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Funhocker Radio. We are about ready though to change some things. And I wanted to kind of reach out real quick and let you understand some things you're going to see happening real quick here. Probably about the middle of April of 2019, we're actually going to be changing the kind of the format and really the purpose of this podcast. So up to this point, I've been spending a lot of time interviewing some of our funnel hackers and things and telling their stories. We're going to continue to do that, but we're going to add in a new little twist. Currently, right now, as of today, we are just under 78,000 customers currently using ClickFunnels. And what we thought is, why not have you guys come join us on the journey to create a culture of 100,000 rabid, excited funnel hackers. So what I'd like to do is just invite you along. Continue to, if you don't mind, rate, review the podcast. Let us know if other people, even possibly outside of our funnel hacker community, you'd like us to bring in and interview. And really want to make sure that you understand the purpose of this podcast is to help you in building your culture and building your community, your tribe, and really helping you understand what it takes to build a community of super, super excited, passionate customers who rave about your service. More importantly, they spend time talking about it, referring clients to you. So with that said, join us as we on our journey to over 100,000 customers. And we're going to try to get this done before the end of 2019. So thanks so much for listening. Rate and review this and enjoy the journey.